As you can hear, I have a touch of laryngitis, and I've had that for a week now. This is day seven. So somewhere in the near future, my voice will return. My Greek students are all waiting for their new MP4 video vocabulary cards to show up because I couldn't, you know, I couldn't pronounce the word very well with the throat like this. Please turn with me to the letter of 1 John, the third chapter. I want to read to you a section, but focus on one verse, as long as my voice allows me. The Word of our God, verse 19 of 1 John 3. This is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we will receive from Him anything we ask because we keep His commands and do what pleases Him. And this is His command, to believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. The one who keeps God's commands lives in Him and He in them. And this is how we know that He lives in us. We know it by the Spirit He gave us. There are a number of interesting interpretive issues in this brief text, and we do cover those in the spring Greek reading class when we read through 1 John. And I'm going to not focus on those at all today, but instead look with me at, if you will, at verse 23. And this is His command, to believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as He commanded us. This is His command. Notice the singular there. John brings the whole of biblical truth down to one sentence. And I want to share this with you because as young men studying for the ministry and heading out into the ministry, we have a large amount of learning that we go through. There are many issues to be considered. There are lots of things to focus on properly in their place and time. But it is easy in the ministry, especially in the early years of ministry, to be so consumed with all the details that you lose the central focus. And when it's all said and done, when you finish your ministry, here's the question you need to ask yourself. Has my ministry led the people of God to believe in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, and to love one another? Everything else is a subpoint of those two points. And so at the center of the ministry of the gospel is the proclamation of Jesus as God's Son, the only Savior of men, that our people might keep the command of God and believe in His Son. And is the fundamental instruction on how to live as a Christian to love one another. When you study the history of the church, you will see many occasions where Christians in one era, in one place, in one time, significantly marred the witness of the gospel because in their stressing of important matters, they lost hold of the center to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. Let's talk about the first one. As you begin your ministry, what is the purpose of your preaching? Well, you have multiple purposes. Lots of specifics that have to be addressed and dealt with. But keep them all in this focus, that what matters is at the end of your sermon, the people are strengthened in their faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. If that is true, God is using your ministry effectively. And if you manage to become so consumed with other matters that that loses its focus and the people walk away, not strengthened in their faith, not renewed in their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their only Savior, then you really have failed. Because that's what really matters. That your people believe in God's Son, Jesus, our only Savior. We can even do that, lose that focus in how we teach essential truth. It is possible to teach the doctrine of justification by faith, which is an application of this truth here, in such a way that the manner of your presentation leads people to the conclusion that salvation is by an exact and proper understanding and exposition of the doctrine of justification. I have met people in the ministry who were thoroughly orthodox unbelievers. That is to say, if you ask them what is justification, they could give you the exact answer with all of the appropriate qualifications, not just of the shorter catechism, short child's form, but the larger catechism, adult elder's form. And yet, there was missing in their lives a trusting, a relying, a resting on the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. When you teach, for example, the doctrine of justification, do not aim merely at right conception, but use the exposition of the right conception of justification to lead the people to put their hope, their trust, their faith in Jesus. Because on the last day, when we stand before the judgment seat, the only difference between those to whom the judgment is entrance into eternal life and those to whom the judgment is entrance into eternal death is whether or not they did and do continue to believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. And then secondly, bound up inseparably from it, teach your people to love one another. That the first question we ask is, how do I speak and how do I act so that the other person is helped and not hurt? Years ago when I was in seminary, in college, a secular college, Clarion, and did not have laryngitis. I was having a discussion in the men's bathroom in the dorm with two other Christians on the issue of election. And being the resident and only Calvinist in the fellowship at that point, I was with great vigor defending and expounding the doctrine of God's election over against their not well thought out and somewhat naively understood Arminian perspectives. And in the process of that, as they failed to accept the obvious meaning of texts, that is to say, obvious to me, and the profundity of my argumentation, because I'm always that, the temper of my emotions hardened, and the voice became louder and more strained. And I screamed at them. Who are you, O man, to answer back to God? Does the thing made say to him who made it, why did you make me like this? I was a doctrinally correct, loveless friend. Because I was more concerned that they agree with my correct idea than that I helped them grow into the truth. So, as you think about your ministry, as you learn the substantial complexity of things you must learn to be an effective minister in the church today. Always remember that when you look at all of the details of doctrinal issues, of teaching, of church administration, and all those things, that you will need regularly to take a step back from all of that and say, but am I focusing on the commandment of God to believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another? How important is that? Well, the one who keeps God's commands lives in Him, and He in them. Do you want God to be living in your people, and they to be living in God? Then teach them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to love one another. Because you will encounter in your ministry people in the church who are, well, let's just say they're not academics. Abstract thought is not their strength. And you will explain the same doctrinal formulas to them once, twice, 10, 15, 20 times. They will never be good at what you are good at. Intellectual formulation, careful verbal articulation. But you will meet people who have a deep and abiding faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and whose lives are characterized by loving others. When you meet those people, do not look down on them because they lack your intellectual gifts. Look up at them and imitate them. Because on the day of judgment, God is not going to ask you the larger catechism definition Amen. Of justification. He's going to ask you, do you believe in my Son? Do you love the brothers? Keep the center. You see, we need to all be like weaned children, resting daily on the Lord Jesus Christ, experiencing and knowing His love and salvation, and out of that experience of the grace of God, being enabled more and more to love one another. Because this is to live in God and have God live in you. Let us pray. Father, we ask that you would work in our hearts, that we would see how easily we stray from trusting in your Son, and instead trusting in ourselves, in our presumed goodness, in our intellectual abilities. Oh, Father, work in us each day a true and saving faith in your Son. And then, Father, knowing the richness of your mercy and love for us in Jesus, give us hearts that are like your heart. We would look on our brothers, love them, help them, and aid them. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.